Dear Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to stand up and witness for you, to tell about the story of your birth and how you came to give us a chance for life eternal with you. And we so much appreciate that. In thy holy name, amen. I'm reading from Luke 2, verses 1 to 8. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that were there to help God's people to recognize Christ when he came the first time. Because the people were not studying the scriptures when Jesus came the first time, his own people were not ready for him. One mistake they made back then that we are repeating now, not studying the scriptures. There are two sets of prophecies, one that deals with Jesus coming the first time, quietly as a sacrifice, teacher, minister, and savior. Then there are the prophecies that deal with Christ coming at the end of the plan of salvation. We think of it as the second coming, coming as a conquering king. The religious leaders at the time of Christ inverted those two prophecies. They expected Jesus to come the first time as a conquering king. They wanted it. They did not know what to do with the prophecies of Jesus coming as a suffering servant to die. We know when he came the first time, he was meek and lowly. He would heal someone and say, "Don't make a fuss. Don't stir things up." Some religious leaders said, "This can't be him. We are waiting for him to show his power, sit on the throne of David, and overthrow the Roman Empire." They were looking for a Messiah to come as the conquering king the first time. Based on the prophecies, we know that is going to happen one day, and soon. The Pharisees switched the prophecies around, and his own people were not ready for him because they did not understand the prophecies or the sequence. It is not only important to know that Jesus is coming, but to know how he is coming, because the church is doing the same thing now. They are taking the prophecies about him coming quietly and applying them to the second coming. And much of the Christian church is expecting Jesus to sneak back to rapture away quietly and secretly his faithful. And then you will read about it the next day in the papers. We need to know something about how Jesus is coming in order to be prepared. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem? Do you know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. Christ came in the house of bread. Where is Jesus' place when he was born? In a manger. What is a manger? It is a place where you feed animals. It was a trough for feeding animals grain. Here he was born in the house of bread and placed in a vessel for eating. He is the bread of life. All this is important to help us realize that we need to eat the bread. Jesus said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life." At this point, I would like to invite Karen to come up and sing "Away in the Manger," Stephanie, do you know that she was doing sign language? It gives me the opportunity to tell about one of my favorite patients. This is a little old lady who was deaf most of her life, and she could sign language really well. I don't know how to sign language, but anyway, she could sign language very well. But then she became blind. And how do you sign language? She would cup her hands and you would sign language in her hands, and she got the biggest grin when she understood what you were saying to her and would verbalize it back to you. And it was like, wow, I saw an angel. Anyway, I wanted to tell that because that was special. Okay, I'm reading from Matthew 2, 1 through 15. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" They got the place right, but they didn't read Daniel and get the timing right, did they? Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Micah 5:2. The wise men did not appear in Mark, or in Luke, or in John, just in the Gospel, Matthew. Who were the wise men? All the Bible says is they came from the east. They represented the nation of the Gentiles, even though after the captive Israelites were allowed to go back home, many stayed in the east, mainly Babylon and Persia. Do you realize that because of their tracking the star, they were night travelers? Traveled at night and studying the prophecies during the day. What a trip. We live in an age of artificial light, so most of us don't see the stars the way we should. One area that I have been able to see the stars spectacularly is that Big Lake Youth Camp at the top of the San Juan Pass. Incredible, far from artificial light. And I'm sure Bud is seeing the stars so spectacularly up in the mountains where there's no artificial light. Why did the Magi follow the star? How did they know that their star would lead them to the Messiah? Balaam said, "Not now, but a star would come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." How did the wise men of the east get a copy of the scriptures? Daniel 5:11 says, "There is a man in your kingdom." This was during the handwriting on the wall. "There's a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy God in the days of your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And Nebuchadnezzar, your father, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers." Did Daniel have access to the scriptures? In Daniel 9, it says he was reading the prophecies of Jeremiah. These wise men may have had copies of the scriptures from Daniel. Another way that they could have followed the stars is, did the Magi have dreams? Did God tell them what to do and what not to do by dream? Yes, he did. They were warned by God and directed by God in a dream not to return to Herod. John 16:13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Does the Holy Spirit guide? Did he guide them on this journey? How many wise men were there? My Christmas card says 3. What were they riding? Again, my Christmas card says camels. But I would like to think that they were riding Arabian horses. They were for royalty and were fast transportation. We don't know, but that makes sense to me. Why do we say 3 magi? Because of the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There may have been many because they were carrying lots of gifts and they would have needed many people for protection. What is the first question in the New Testament? Where is he? Asked by the wise man in Jerusalem. What was the star? Was it a comet or another natural astrological thing? Luke 2:13 and 14 says, "The shepherds saw the star at Jesus' birth." The wise men could see it, but not everybody could see it. Suddenly there was a multitude of angels singing, praising, and giving glory to God in the highest. Why did the wise men come to see Jesus? What was their purpose? They didn't come because of what they were going to get out of it, did they? They came to worship him. They came a long way to honor him. They did not want credit for showing up. The Bible tells us that they came to worship him and did not even drop their names. Real worship of God is selfless. It is giving. They brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Did you realize that when Joseph, not Mary's husband, but Joseph's brothers, when they came to him, they brought money for the grain. Some of it may have been gold. We don't know. It says they brought myrrh and spices, and that may have been frankincense. Make it to heaven so you can find out. Did you know that when they gave Jesus, in worship of him, gifts, these gifts sustained Joseph and Mary and Jesus for 4 years while they were in Egypt. When we give gifts to Jesus in worship of him, it is to support the gospel for our salvation. Do you want to follow the star Jesus? Do you want to worship him? Who else came from the east? The Queen of Sheba. And for all we know, one of the Magi may have been a lady. We don't know that. Make it to heaven and find out. Okay, I'm going to be reading Luke 2:8-20. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at all those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Everyone wanted to see the Messiah when he was born, but the revelation of Jesus' birth, instead of being revealed to the religious leaders, scribes, Pharisees, it was revealed to the shepherds and later to the wise men. These were good shepherds, and they were with their sheep. It was late, and they were watching. They were at their posts doing their duty. It was no accident it occurred to that group that the angels were sent. That group represents a much bigger group. What does the good news mean? The gospel. What is unique about this baby? He was lying in a manger. That helped the shepherds identify and find baby Jesus. Here again you have the bread of life, being born in the house of bread, laying in a place where animals were being fed. Here you have a case of shepherds finding a lamb and telling others. If like the shepherds you should go and find, you must go and tell. The first people to see and proclaim the Messiah were shepherds. One reason God chose them was because they were good shepherds. The Bible is a book about shepherds. Why did the Israelites not mingle or intermarry with the Egyptians when Jacob came to Egypt? Because they were shepherds, and the Egyptians hated the shepherds, kept them separate. The first thing in the Bible to die was a lamb. The first human to die was a shepherd, Abel. What is a shepherd? A keeper of sheep. We are our brother's keepers. We are to care for each other. This is what makes the two parts of the Ten Commandments unique. Love the Lord with all your heart, and love your neighbor as the shepherd loves his sheep. We are to care for each other and to watch over each other. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were shepherds. Joseph was a shepherd, and he was sent out to shepherd his brothers when they sold him. Moses was a shepherd and needed training, 40 years at it, before he was allowed to shepherd people. David was a shepherd. Samuel said to Jesse, "Is this all of your sons?" Jesse said, "Well, the youngest, David, he is not here. He is keeping the sheep." Don't miss that. He was taking care of his father's sheep. What are the characteristics of a good shepherd? To show what sheep they are responsible for, they mark the sheep. The Bible tells us that God marks his own sheep. They have the seal of God or his mark. There's a story of a shepherd that went to an auction, and he recognized one of the sheep by the mark on its ear. So he wanted it back, and he ended up paying a huge price to get it back. God not only created us, but he paid a huge price to get us redeemed from sin and get us back. Some of you are marked by the prayers of your parents or someone else. A good shepherd watches his sheep. That can be a very sacrificial job. Jacob took care of Laban's sheep so he could secure his wives. Jesus takes care of his sheep so he can secure his bride too at his second coming. This is a story in Genesis about Jacob describing what it's like to be a shepherd. Genesis 31:38-40. Here Jacob is describing what it is like to be a shepherd. These 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. That's what he had told Laban, what it was like to be a shepherd. You have to be watchful if you are a shepherd, or the wolf will come. Who is your flock that you need to watch over, pray for, care for, encourage, or help? A good shepherd is sacrificial. A good shepherd will lay down his life for a sheep. Jesus was that sacrificial shepherd for his sheep. In the story of David, 1 Samuel 17:34-36 says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant killed both lion and bear.'" The only way that David was able to do this was because of the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. He put his life on the line for his sheep. A good shepherd will discipline his sheep. There's a story of a shepherd carrying a large lamb, and they said, "Why are you carrying that sheep?" He said, "Well, because he broke its leg." "Oh my, what happened?" "I broke it." "What?" "Yes, she kept wandering off and the wolves would have gotten her. I will hand feed her and she will be fine. She will learn her dependence on me." Affliction is God's sheepdog to drive us back to the fold. I'm going to repeat that. Affliction is God's sheepdog to drive us back to the fold. A good shepherd leads his sheep. Jacob said, "I will lead my sheep softly." You can kill people spiritually by driving them too hard. He is before them, showing them where to go. From Egypt to Canaan, God led them by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. A good shepherd feeds his sheep. John 21:15 says, "So when they dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' Peter said to him, 'Yea, Lord, you know that I love thee.' Jesus said unto him, 'Feed my lambs.'" What does a good shepherd feed his sheep? The bread of life, the grain of life. A good shepherd will follow the sheep's voice, and the sheep will hear the shepherd's voice. John 10:27 says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What is the good shepherd's voice? The Bible, God's word. A good shepherd will seek the lost. We want to know who is missing so we can look for them. If you notice someone missing, call them. Matthew 18:11-12 says, For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doeth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Are you yearning over that one missing child? Think about that. While shepherds watch their sheep, let's contemplate all that Jesus did for us in this great incarnation. In closing, I want to tell you about a miracle that happened. Normally I'm a little nervous and stuff, but I was watching the clock, and people that up here, their one nervous habit is to watch the clock. If you turn around and look at the clock, God gave me the relaxation that it was 11:23 the whole time. And it still was 11:23. But up until then, it had been moving, so I didn't worry about whether we go over or not. The shepherd did not seek the lost sheep for financial reasons. It was compassion that drove the shepherd to find the lost sheep. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Compassion leads us, as followers of Jesus, to find the lost sheep of the world. Good shepherds live a long time. Do you want to live for eternity with the good shepherd? I do, and I long for that to happen. Looking into the face of the good shepherd. Wow, let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for the promises, the stories that you give in the Bible. And we know that your word is unbreakable, your promises are irreversible, and that your word is truth. And we look forward to seeing you come to take us home to your kingdom in thy holy name. Amen.